हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ओम् सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक्प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वम् ब्रह्मोपनिषदम् माहम् ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणम् मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः So we go straight to that area, part where we stopped. Now Shankaracharya is commenting on the second line of the mantra. And the last one was, the last argument was, any object, when it is indicated, anything which is indicated by a given, defined, and using its nature. Any object is defined using its nature. No, through its nature. Through, suppose that which is black in color in front of me is the mic, if I say, that blackness becomes the swarupam. Swarupam, some nature of that object. Either an attribute or a nature, something is always used to describe or to define an object. Similarly, even though Brahman is said to be, Brahman is of the nature of attributelessness, we said no word can describe Brahman. It is not, because Brahman is not an object, therefore, it is this free from attributes. And being attributeless, it is not describable through any words, using the words. But here he says, when you say, you know, arupam, adrishyam, agrahyam, etc., each word actually defines definition of Brahman only. When you say arupam, adrishyam, agrahyam, etc., a Brahman is that which is not available for perception, that which cannot be seen, that which cannot be heard, because it has no form, it's not a form, it is not a sound, it is not a taste, therefore it is not perceivable through any of the senses, and you say, the definition of Brahman only. It means, and that way, then you can say, what is that by which Brahman is defined now? Isn't it? Somehow the Upanishad uses some word to defend Brahman. Therefore you say, if you use the word consciousness. Now Brahman is a name implying the reality. The reality, the absolute substance. And what the substance is, what that reality is, we do not know. And each the word Brahman implies that reality. Therefore, we do not know what actually is implied by the word Brahman as the limitlessly big vastu. The word Brahman means only that which is limitlessly big. So, that which is limitlessly big is the reality. Okay, we do not know what is that vastu which is limitlessly big. So Upanishad uses what now? Uses some words to define Brahman so that those words negating what Brahman is not, thereby they help us to arrive at what Brahman is. No word directly reveals Brahman. no word directly defines Brahman. And Upanishad uses some words. Those words negate what Brahman is not. Negate. By negating what Brahman, by negating through negation, by saying what Brahman is not, they help us to arrive at what Brahman is. Isn't it? So, those words also somehow what now? Define Brahman. When such definition of Brahman, like which imply, which help us to arrive at Brahman through negation, not directly, isn't it? Through implication. And then you arrive at what now? Okay, then consciousness is the swarupam of Brahman. Chaitanyam, the pure knowledge is the nature of reality. So pure knowledge is reality. You arrive at it. Isn't it? So the pure knowledge means what now? Is the nature, swarupam. Therefore, that is using the swarupam alone, you imply, isn't it? Using the swarupam, by mentioning the swarupam, by indicating the swarupam, by implying the swarupam, you define a given object. So Brahman also, even though Brahman is not an object, even though Brahman is not objectifiable, even though Brahman is not any of these, Brahman has no form to be perceived, but still Brahman is defined by these words, Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Brahma. Brahman is, it's a definition of Brahman, the Swarupa Lakshanam of Brahman. And there is Tatastha Lakshanam of Brahman also, the another indirect definition of Brahman. We have two definitions of Brahman. Well, one is direct definition of Brahman, one is indirect definition of Brahman. What is direct definition of Brahman? Swarupa Lakshanam. What is indirect definition? Tatastha Lakshanam. So, Swarupa Lakshanam means the words used to define Brahman, they negate what Brahman is not, thereby through implication, they imply what Brahman is directly. And the Tatastha Lakshana means indirect definition of Brahman, known as Tatastha Lakshanam. They say they present Brahman as the cause of the universe and stating that from which the universe has come into existence and that by which universe is sustained, that in which universe resolves, that is Brahman. This is called indirect definition of Brahman. But anyway, somehow these definitions are there. That means how, what is the definition is used there in Swarupa Lakshanam, Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, etc. Through that definition, what do you arrive at? Brahman is pure consciousness. Pure consciousness is Brahman. Not Brahman is pure consciousness, pure consciousness is Brahman. You arrive at it. Therefore, now the student is asking, can we say now then that word, that those words, no, which reveal the swarupam, isn't it? The swarupam of the vastu. Swarupam of the vastu, you by mentioning which, using which Brahman is defined, can we take the swarupam as the name or the word which for the Brahman? That's the truth. He's asking the question. Can we say then the swarupam of Brahman, isn't it? Through which you help us to arrive at Brahman, to you define Brahman, that swarupam can be taken as a name or a word implying, indicating Brahman. Can you say that? And here the author said, no. Why? Because Upanishad uses, in different Upanishads, different words are used here. That's what he mentioned in the last class, we saw that. Now, vijnanam, I read all those words here. For example, look at this. Chaitanyam brahmanaha no dharmaha bhavati iti. Brahmanaha rupam iti. No, only through the when we say it is that consciousness which alone is not, which doesn't have the any of the attributes. Okay, you arrive at what is that which is free from all the attributes, which is not a sound, which is not a form, which is not a color, etc. through the definition of Brahman, you arrive at pure consciousness, Chaitanyam. Therefore, Chaitanyam is what now? Nature of Swarupa of Brahman. Therefore, can we say Brahman is established, existence of Brahman is established through what now? Through revealing, through this existence of consciousness. Isn't it? The consciousness is Brahman is proved here. Therefore, and here are other words, Vijnanam Anandam Brahma. Vijnanam Anandam Brahma. What is Brahman? Vijnanam, pure knowledge. What is Brahman? Which is pure knowledge, pure consciousness, which is of the nature of limitlessness, is Brahman, is one definition. Vijnana Ghanaha Eva. Brahman is nothing but absolutely pure knowledge. Absolutely, it is knowledge. Then, Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Brahma. Three definitions from different Upanishads she is quoting. Prajnanam, Brahma. Pure consciousness is Brahman. Iti, like this. There's many quotations. Vijnanam, Anandam, Brahma. Vijnana, Ghanaha, Eva, Brahma. Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Brahma. Prajnanam, Brahma. All these words reveal what? All these definitions, each definition of Brahma. All these are definitions of Brahma. And each definition states Brahman being pure consciousness. Or pure consciousness being the Swarupam of Brahman. Therefore, what he says, now we can say therefore that Swarupam can be taken as the word, isn't it? Indicating Brahman. We can take that word, the Swarupam of Brahman, as a word, isn't it? Indicating Brahman. Why he is asking? Because Brahman is, really speaking, Brahman, the absolute reality, is non-definable. It cannot be defined at all. But non-definable Brahman is defined in Upanishad, isn't it? That is why those words have to be unfolded properly, understood correctly. No word can directly, if we say Brahman, what is the reality? Consciousness is the reality. If we say, what do you understand? Isn't it? If I say Mike, this is the specs, if I say, you can understand that. Like that, like how any word indicating an object directly, immediately you can understand. Even if you use the word consciousness, you can't understand. You can't arrive at what the word means actually. Isn't it? Therefore, what he says is, okay, Brahman can be indicated by the word, consciousness, because it is the Swarupam of Brahman. Now the teacher says, Satyam evam tathapi. That's true. Tathapi, that word also, when can be used? Yes, Brahman can be implied through the word, by the word consciousness, but when? Only from the standpoint of the upadhi, only when the upadhis are used. You can say consciousness is Brahman only from the standpoint of the upadhis, only from the standpoint of the vyavahara, vyavaharika level. The transactable Brahman alone can be defined, isn't it? Defined using the word consciousness. The reality as such, what is non-transactable reality? For reality to become transactable, it must be already there. That means there is a time when reality is non-transactably. That non-transactable reality alone becomes transactable, and at times it becomes again non-transactable. Therefore, the reality, what is before what? The transactable reality is first, or non-transactable is first? Non-transactable is the first. Therefore, that is what is Brahman. That is what is the reality. Non-transactable is Brahman is the reality actually. The transactable is what now? Transactable is non-transactable, but the non-transactable is not the transactable, isn't it? The manifest is transactable, whereas original is non-transactable. Like original phase is the first, the reflected phase is later. Without the original, how can there be reflection? How can there be manifestation? Isn't it? Therefore, the non-transactable is the original, transactable is the manifest. The manifest through the, when this manifest means what? Is it from the standpoint of the manifestation, from the standpoint of the availability for transaction alone, we can say even Brahman is definable. Brahman is definable from that only from the standpoint of the transaction. From a non-transactable standpoint, Brahman is indefinable. Okay, that means what? No word can really, even the word consciousness cannot be used to imply Brahman. Parambolukku enna da vaartha podunna oru vaarthai podamudiyadhu. You cannot use one word to say what Brahman is, what the reality is. Oh, then what is the word? No word. So how, what should I think then? Once you understand, isn't it? No word for that. You have to remain silent. It is why yesterday in a class I told, no? Yato vacho nivartante apraapya manasa saha. This is a sentence from what? This is the quotation from Taittiriya Upanishad. Remember? Yataha va, I have to really explain here that. Yataha vachaha nivartante apraapya manasa saha. Why the non-transactable reality as original reality is indefinable, non-definable? Why it cannot be defined? Definition of Brahman that is given in the Upanishads is only from the standpoint of transactable, vyavahara, vyavaharika level. The level of vyavahara only. Why it cannot be defined? This Taittiriya mantra makes it very clear. Listen to me. I had to tell this for explanation here. See, what are the words? Listen to me carefully. What are the words? Words are expression of knowledge. Words are expression of knowledge which rises in the mind. So what is knowledge? Knowledge which arises in the mind is a thought, isn't it? Vritti jnanam. So shabdaha vritti jnanasya, isn't it? Prabodhakam. The expression of the manifest knowledge in the form of vritti jnanam is the words or expressions of the vritti jnanam. Now what is vritti jnanam? Look at this. What is vritti jnanam? Vritti jnanam is knowledge, isn't it? And what is vritti jnanam knowledge here? Knowledge is that which is of two aspects. Like how illumination is of two aspects, such as reflected light and the reflecting medium, the bulb. Okay, manifest electricity and the manifesting medium, the bulb. Illumination is equal to manifest electricity plus the manifesting medium, the bulb, is equivalent to what? Illumination. So also cognition or manifest the vritti jnanam, which is what now? Manifest consciousness or reflected consciousness plus reflecting medium, the thought. Reflected consciousness or manifest consciousness plus the manifesting medium, the thought, is equal to what? Vritti jnanam. And what is the word? Word is an expression of vritti jnanam. Vritti jnanam is a thought plus manifest consciousness. And what is manifest knowledge? What is vritti jnanam? Vritti jnanam is manifest consciousness plus thought means. What is manifest consciousness? Manifest consciousness is the original consciousness. Look at this. Manifest, so words are dependent on the vritti jnanam for their existence. And vritti jnanam is dependent on what? Vritti plus manifestation of consciousness. And manifest consciousness is what? Original consciousness. Vritti cannot be vritti without the manifestation of consciousness. And manifest consciousness is not possible if there is no original consciousness. How can, so beautiful the order. Have you got it now? How can words which are dependent on vritti jnanam and which is dependent on the original manifestation of consciousness and which is possible only if there is original consciousness, how can words reveal the original consciousness? Got it? How can the mind reveal, how can consciousness be the object of vritti jnanam? If you remove the battery from the torch light, then you want to see the torch light. Now, use the torch light to see what the battery is. What will happen? You can never see the battery behind the torch light, isn't it? Now, same battery, I want to see that battery through this torch light. Can you ever do that? No. Okay, the same way. Hope you've got it. Now, I can remove it and see. If you remove the battery behind the torch light, there's no torch light. Okay? Therefore, it will never be. That's why Upanishad says, aprapya, without having revealed, without having been able to reveal what Brahman is, consciousness is, the words return, the words go to explain, not reveal what Brahman is. They return incapable, failing, return incapable of revealing Brahman along with the mind. Come, let us go back. We can't reveal Brahman. Isn't it? So that is what, therefore, no word can reveal Brahman. Therefore, Brahman is actually non-definable. But even definition of Brahman, Brahman is definable only from the standpoint of vyavahara, only from the standpoint of transaction, not from the standpoint of non-transactable original reality. Is it clear? We arrive at what is original reality through this definition based on the Brahman which is available for transaction as manifest knowledge. Got it? That is what we saw last class. We saw that. Tadu antahkarana deha indriya upadhi dwarenaiva. Yes, Brahman is definable only from the standpoint of the vyavahara, transaction, from the manifestation of Brahman, manifest reality. Through what now? Tathapi antahkarana deha indriya upadhi dwarenaiva. Only with the help of the manifesting medium. What is the manifesting medium? Manifesting medium here? We had media, antahkarana, mind directly, then deha, physical body, indriya, sense, all the powers. All these powers. The powers of organs of action, sense organs, through all of them, all this only through the manifesting medium alone, dwarenaiva, vijnanadi shabdehi nirdishyate. Nirdishyate means what now is defined, Brahman is defined through such words, vijnanam, yahatyam, jnanam, anantam, etc. also, only where? Only through the manifestation of Brahman. Or from the standpoint of manifestation of Brahman, not from the standpoint of Brahman itself. Okay, now you can understand. We arrive at what original Brahman, original reality is from the standpoint of even the manifest Brahman, manifest reality also is what now? Not directly revealed. Isn't it? These words only imply. Through implication they reveal. Okay. Now next we are going to next to new class today. Swatahatu. Okay, sorry, 1 second, I just. Okay. Tadanukaritvat. Dehadi. Vriddhi. Sankocha. Chedadishu. Nasheshu. Khamiva. Na swataha. See, na swataha means the reality, Brahman as pure reality, as pure consciousness, without the support of the manifesting medium, without the transaction, a transactability of Brahman. Brahman as a non-transactable reality cannot be defined at all, even through any words. It is non-definable. No word can define. Even the word consciousness, etc., can be used to define Brahman only from the standpoint of Brahman which is available for transaction as manifest reality. Manifest reality means what? And with manifesting medium, with the help of manifesting medium. Media, what are they? Mind, sense organs, organs, physical body, etc. That's what is said here. Otherwise, or when all these manifesting media are resolved, for example, physical body after the death, isn't it? When the body is not there. When the body is not there, what now? The what about the sense powers, powers of organs of actions, the pranas and the mind, they all remain resolved. See, they all can function only when they are in the physical body. They become non-functional, they're not dead. The sukshma is not dead when the physical body is not there, isn't it? The sukshma continues to survive but is non-functional. Non-functionally alive in the absence of the body. When the presence of the body, the sukshma is functionally, isn't it? It is alive and it is also functional at a time. And that's why deep sleep state is a state when the sukshma is alive, present in the body but it is non-functional. In deep, the waking and dream states are the states wherein mind, in dream state, mind alone is functional, the rest are non-functional. Mind and pranas are functional. In waking, the mind, the sense organs, all of them are functional, then the body is totally active. Isn't it? But when these are non-functional, even when the body is alive, even the sukshma, up to the sukshma shariram, which serves as the mind, with the sukshma aspects, which serves as manifesting medium for consciousness, which is in the, present in the physical body also. There is a time when, because of the nature of expansion, contraction, when all the thoughts resolve, the manifesting medium is not available. Therefore, the sense powers also what now? Resolve. And all the powers of organs of actions resolve. Pranas alone function. Okay, and mind is present. We saw it in Dripti Shiveka class very clearly. When the mind is present, therefore body is alive. But mind is non-functional, therefore body, all the powers are non-functional, therefore body also is non-functional. For the body to be active and functional, all the powers must be functional. For all the powers, 10 powers to be functional, karmendriyani, jnanendriyani, for all the 10 of them to be functional, then mind must be functional. But the mind is non-functional means what? All the thoughts are resolved. The thoughts are resolved, there is no manifestation of consciousness. That is where there is no manifest knowledge as I am. I told you, I am itself is manifest knowledge. When the I am, this knowledge is not there, there is no manifest knowledge. There is no manifestation of the knowledge. There is pure knowledge, but there is no manifestation of the knowledge because the manifesting medium is not available. The universe is, that is a manifest knowledge. No, but in deep sleep state, manifestation of the knowledge is not there, but knowledge is. Why? Because manifesting medium, the thought is not available. Vritti is not available. The vrittis are resolved. Therefore, when the manifesting medium, the vritti is not available, antahkarna vrittihi, by itself in inert, and when it is not available, which itself is dependent on the manifestation of consciousness to shine, and thereby to be able to illumine, those vrittis are not there, where is the manifestation? That is why in deep sleep state you do not know you are. In deep sleep state you do not know the universe is. You are, but you do not know. The universe is, but you do not know. Why? What? Not knowing is what? The knowledge is not manifest. So knowledge being unmanifest is ignorance. Understand? Manifestation, knowledge being manifest is knowledge. That's called vritti. Antahkarana vrittihi. Therefore, then there's knowledge is not manifest, then what is there is what? That which is manifest is pure knowledge. You arrive at it like that, but that pure knowledge even cannot be defined when it is not available for transaction. How will you define what the reality is when you are asleep? What definition? You are not there even to define. In deep sleep state, you yourself are not there. Where is the question of your defining what Brahman is? Still now. And you are that very Brahman. Therefore, no word can be used. Taking off. Therefore, he says, Dehadi, look at this, Anukaritvat, Anukarana means what now? The manifest consciousness also behaves in keeping with the behavior of the manifesting medium. Isn't it? The manifest consciousness, the manifest knowledge behaves in keeping with what now? Behaves means what? The functions in keeping with the manifesting medium. The manifesting medium moves, the manifestation also moves. But the original consciousness doesn't move. Because of this behavior, anukarana means what now? It functions in keeping with the manifestation, functions in keeping with the manifesting medium. Atna is that way, anukaritvat, dehadi vriddhi sankochas chedadishu naseshu. Either when the manifesting medium undergoes a change, or it is not there, or it becomes dead, or it resolves, or it contracts, expands, etc. In all these conditions of the manifesting medium, naseshu swataha, by conscious, the reality, Brahman by itself, is what now? Remains as it is. It still continues to be there without any change, without being dependent on all of them for their existence. Then when this manifesting media are not available, then there is no manifestation of consciousness. That's why in dead body, consciousness is very much there. Original consciousness is very much there. Because all pervasive, eternal. Where can it go? When can not available? Always it is there. In dead body, why is it not available? Non-transactable consciousness is there in dead body. Because there's no manifesting medium, the mind. Is it clear? That's what swataha na kamiva. Kamiva na space. Just as the space is by itself. Indivisibly, partlessly, as a whole space, unmovingly space is. How the space is? Indivisibly, partlessly, unmovingly, as a whole space alone, space is. When all these, you know, the dividing things which fall, walls, etc., the space alone is. Division, indivisibly, with the divisionlessly. Similarly, the pure consciousness, swataha, it remains any without any manifestation, without being available for transaction. Okay, it cannot, consciousness, the reality, can never become, you know, become transactable without its manifesting medium. That's why I told you in many classes, the Atma Brahman is not dependent on the manifesting media for its existence. But Atma Brahman is dependent on mind and mind for its manifestation. A sukshma for its manifestation. Okay, now we'll go to the next thing. Okay, so what now? So what? Why it is said here now? Therefore, Suveda, don't, if you think you know Brahman directly, I told you the meaning of the word, okay, therefore the teacher remains now. Suvedanam means direct experience, direct knowledge. Vedana means knowledge. If you think I know Brahman directly, I have direct experience of the reality, if you say, definitely you do not know. Why? Because Brahman is never available for experience due to its non-objectifiability. Because it is not objectifiable. Why? Because not objectifiable? Because never an object. Being the non-objectifiable subject, not being available for object, not being an object, not being being attributeless also, it is not definable. Is it? No definition can really help you to arrive at Brahman. Therefore, Brahman, you can never have the direct experience of Brahman. That's what he is talking about it now. Because the student simply wants, no, oh, why do you say it is not available for that experience? Why can't you use it? Because it is not, it doesn't have any attribute. It cannot be revealed through the words. Why can't you use this word? What about these words? Jnanam, Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, etc. They're all words. Why can't you say these words reveal Brahman? Why can't? Because they reveal the Swarupam. That is why he wants to explain this. Okay, even those words are used only from the standpoint of manifestation, not from the standpoint of original. Isn't it? Atma as such, reality. Never ever say, I have, not you can say that, but you don't know that's the thing. I have direct experience of Brahman, it is direct experience of Brahman is impossible. If at all somebody has that experience of Brahman, they do not know what Brahman is. That's what the teaching is here. Now, we'll go to the next slide. Swatahatu avijnatam vijanatam vijnatam avijanatam iti sthitam bhavishyati. Swataha to Brahman, avijnatam vijanatam. For those who claim, I know Brahman, no, those whoever claim, the one who, for those people who claim that they know Brahman, for them Brahman is unknown. Okay? And those who say, for those who say that they do not know Brahman, they know Brahman. Avijnan, avijanatam iti. And this mantra, it comes where? The same Upanishad. In the following chapter, it is going to come. In the following, you know, the next verse, in the same chapter, as the following mantra is going to come. Next, in the third mantra of the second chapter is going to come. Shitam bhavishyati. Yadas yad asya brahmanaha rupam iti purvena sambandha. Therefore, asya brahmanaha rupam. No, asya brahmanaha rupam. Then they say that this line comes in the second line of the mantra. If you know, if at all you say, I have direct experience of Brahman, if at all you say, no, brahmanaha rupamiti, na kevalam, adhyatma, no, okay, na kevalam adhyatma upadhi parichinnasya asya brahmanaha rupam swalpam veta. See, you know very little. Swalpam veta means what? You know very little. You know very little means what? The knowledge of Brahman you have is not correct knowledge. That Brahman is what now? No, I have an experience, which is really, I do have an experience. How can you deny my experience, what I have? See, okay, I have a dream experience, which is subjectively real. It is real for me. It is not unreal. It may not be objectively real, but is subjectively real, which I have earned through my special punyam, which you don't have, okay? But it's not objectively real, but I have. Therefore, you cannot deny my experience. So, you have to work for that experience, okay? Therefore, I still have an experience at Brahman. If you say, you keep your experience with you, we don't deny your experience, that experience of Brahman is not experience, really speaking, not knowledge of Brahman. That is only Saguna Brahma. Anything you experience is objectively, whatever you objectively experience also is what? Experience of Saguna Brahma only. If you really know what Brahman is absolutely, then which time are you not experiencing Brahman? So beautiful it is. Which time are you not experiencing Brahman? All the time you are experiencing Brahman. Every experience of everything is experience of Brahman only. Therefore, that means what? Sagunam Brahma. Manifest knowledge is what? Saguna. Saguna Jnanam. When the knowledge is not manifest, Nirgunam. Nirupadikam, Nirvisesham. Nirupadikam Brahma, Nirvisesham Brahma, Nirgunam Brahma means what? Pure knowledge. Manifest knowledge is what? Experience. Isn't it? Any experience is manifestation of knowledge only. Manifestation of Chaitanyam only. Therefore, because no experience is palpable without the experiencer. Isn't it? Therefore, the manifestation, every experience is Brahman. What Brahman it is? Sagunam Brahma. Therefore, that is why what Sagunam Brahma means what? Ishwaraha. Chaitanyam is manifest, it is Sagunam, it is Ishwara. Chaitanyam is not manifest, it is Nirgunam. When it is manifest, it is Ishwara. It is not manifest, it is Brahma. Got the difference? Therefore, if you understand, every experience is Saguna Brahma experience only. It needs a special, not a special experience. Okay, therefore ordinary experience of anybody and special experience of any by special effort you have, it may be by experience, by practice of meditation or by practice of something else, by standing upside down, by walking by head also. If you have any special experience by some unique effort also, all those experiences are subjectively real experiences, objectively real experiences. All the experiences are what now? Experiences of Sagunam Brahma, Saguna Ishwara. Okay? No. Suppose the experience is internal, subjectively real experience. It is what? Adhyatma Upadhi Avachinna Brahma. Understand? If the experience is external, no, you all don't see, I alone see, come, look at this, Krishna is coming and sitting and he's playing his flute, I hear, oh, how beautiful it is, you're all not, you don't have that. See, you don't have that punyam, you're not able to see Krishna in front of you, you're able to, you know, listen to his flute playing, now he's playing, and he's eating butter also, he's taking butter, Nina's butter, and he's eating. I see that. I can tell you all those things. You cannot deny, okay? And that is, say, that is what now? External. That external is what now? It is because Krishna is my Ishta Devata. Krishna is my what now? My Aradhana Murti. Therefore, that is Adidaiva Upadhi Avachinna Chaitanyam Brahma. Saguna Ishwara. Okay? Because such an experience of Sagunam Brahma can keep you emotionally but really speaking, it is of no use. It will not free you from emotional dependence. You leave everything else and all the time you will be wanting such experience for you to be in good humor. And though any experience is time-bound, because experience involves two aspects, manifesting medium and the manifestation. Manifestation will be always possible if the manifesting media is available. But what to do? Manifesting medium will go, the experience will be lost. Isn't it? That is why any experience is time-bound. Hope you got it. Have you? Therefore, that's what he says here. What? Kevalam Adhyatma. If at all you say you have some experience of some form in your own mind or some form outside. Okay? The inner experience of something internal is Adhyatma Upadhi Avachinnam Brahma, Sagunam Brahma only. If it's an experience of something which is outside, external, then it is Adidaiva Upadhi Avachinnam only. I tell you a simple thing. When you say, I experience light, the light as a pure light is what now? Of course, light is a pure light. It doesn't attract, really doesn't draw our attention. Pure light means what? An opaque object. Okay, light minus opaque objects. Light minus opaque objects is pure light. The pure light being unmoving, being uniform, being colorless, no, it is what? Unattractive. So you never pay attention. But the same light really is really something you consider the presence of the light. When it's transactable, when some colorful people come and dance there in the presence of light, then you what? That light becomes manifest light, reflected light, isn't it? Reflected light. And now we say so many opaque things are there. Now how many reflections are there? In keeping with the number of opaque objects, you can say so many reflections of light. But is it how many original lights are there? One non-dual, advayam, is it? Advaitaha prakashaha, advayaha prakashaha, ekaha prakashaha. But reflecting mediums are there. Therefore what he says, Parichinnasya asya brahmanaha rupam swalpam betha. You know, very little of that brahman. Yadu api adi daivata upadi parichinnasya asya brahmanaha rupam deveshu vetha tvam tadapi nunam dabhrameva vetha iti manye aham. Definitely nunameva vetha. Okay, whether your direct experience is possible, direct experience of Brahman is possible, because once you wake up in the morning, what you have is direct experience of Brahman only. What you experience is Brahman only. Whatever you experience is what? Once you wake up, what you experience is nothing but Brahman only. But that which is experienced from and until you fall asleep the whole day is that experience of Brahman only. But that what is directly experienced, you do not know what you are experiencing is Brahman only. You do not know. That's your problem. But the direct experience of Brahman is Sagunam Brahma. And if you know what I experience directly is Sagunam Brahma, Ishvara, that's good, no problem. But still, there's a good, if at all special experience you have also, that any special experience is as good as your any everyday a waking state experience only. Sagunam Brahma experience of Sagunam Brahma only. Therefore, that is not the Brahma Jnanam. Saguna Brahma experience, isn't it? Direct experience of Sagunam Brahma, isn't it? As the Devata. As Devata, an experience or experience of one's own, you know, some state of mind, they're all not really not Brahma Jnanam. Because this Saguna Brahma experience will not free you from bondage. Now, yadu adhyatmam, yadu adhi deveshu tadapi cha upadhi parichinnatvat daharatvat na nivartate. Okay, now such an experience also, now understand, any experience is dependent on the instrument of experience. There cannot be such a thing called experience without the instrument of experience. Whether you say direct experience or indirect experience or whatever experience it is, an experience of any special devata or special state of mind, samadhi experience, any experience is time bound. Okay? And how can time bound is of no use? That is not Brahma Jnanam. Okay? And Brahma Jnanam. Why? Because the object of experience, what happens, will not be available for experience anymore once the instrument of experience is lost. Instrument of experience has its own limitation. It is not available always. That is a problem. Even every day of 24 hours, even if you try to sleep all day also, you make efforts. Even if you don't make efforts also, Bhagavan himself makes you sleep at least for few hours when the instruments of knowledge are not available. Where, what experience do you have in deep sleep state? There is a different experience. Isn't it? Therefore, there any experience is what now? Dependent on upadis. instruments of experience. And upayas are of what now? They are of the nature of contracting and expanding. They are time bound. Therefore, experience also will be time bound. And that time bound experience is not original Brahma. That's what he wants to say here. Therefore, Brahman is what now? Brahman is free. The Brahman, the absolute reality, is free from all these limitations. Any experience falls within the realm of limited experience only, limitation only. It is not free from limitations. Any experience is not free from limitations. Every experience is bound by limitations. Why? Experience is dependent on instrument of experience. And instruments of experience are the upadis. And they are of the nature of, they are time bound in nature. Yattu. Now he explains Brahman beautifully. Look at this. Shankara says, Vidvastha, Sarva, Upadhi Visesham, Vidvastha Sarva Upadhi Visesham. Vidvastha means free from. Yet that Brahman is, what now? Whereas Brahman is free from all the Upadhi Visesham, all the Upadhis. The absolute reality Brahman is free from the upadis. No? Free upadis. When you are in deep sleep state, isn't it? There is no dependence. Brahman is not dependent on all the upadis. It's completely free. Free from all the upadhi visesham, upadis, all the instruments of knowledge, instruments of experience, or instruments of transaction. You can say instruments of knowledge, instruments of experience, instruments of transaction. Upadhi visesham, it is free from. Then shantam. So Brahman is independent of the upadhis, or free from upadhis. Then shantam means Brahman doesn't have upadhis. Okay, pure consciousness doesn't have upadhis. Then shantam, consciousness is ever tranquility itself. Consciousness, there's no disturbance, restlessness on the part of the consciousness. Consciousness is ever, what now, silence and tranquil and serene. It is motionless, isn't it? Shantam, anantam, it is free from time, space, object limitations. Isn't it? Anantam. I'm repeating now. So now he's defining Brahman again. Vidvastha sarva upadhi visesham. You know, Atma Brahman is, what now? It is free from upadhis. And it is of the nature of tranquility. It is of the nature of limitlessness. In terms of time and space, etc. Then, ekam, it is one. Consciousness is one. Then, advaitam, non-dual. Bhumakyam, known by the term bhuma. See, bhuman is another word like Brahman. One more word, synonym of the word Brahman is bhuman. Bhuma is the word used in Chandogya Upanishad. Shankaracharya quotes that also. Known by the term Bhuma. Bhuma again means Brahma only. Nityam, eternal Brahma, the reality. Okay, that Brahma, that na suvedyam. Na suvedyam means what? Is never knowable directly, never experienceable directly. Suvedya means what? Experienceable. Na suvedya means what? Never experienceable directly, which means it is never available for direct experience. And here, the two words used, look at this. Ekam advayam, isn't it? Advayam itself means what? Non-dual. Ekam also means what? One. Why twice he used? Why can't we say only one is enough, one word is enough? Ekam is equal to advayam, isn't it? Ekam means one, advayam means what? Non-dual. Why he uses, he refers to here the Mandukya Upanishad, you know, thing. Mandukya said, before creation, before Srishti, Brahman was Ekam, Maya also Eka. Maya was, Shak power was one, not many. Brahman, the reality, consciousness was one. Before creation, consciousness was one, and Maya, the power also was one. Eka Maya, Ekam Chaitanyam. But after creation, consciousness continues to be ekam, whereas maya became many. Eka maya became many after Srishti. Isn't it? Therefore, now we have to say now, what is maya now? Maya became many. Therefore, even then, you have to distinguish the reality consciousness from that. Before Srishti also, consciousness was one. After Srishti also, consciousness is one. Before Srishti, Maya was one. After Srishti, Maya became many. Therefore, that Ekam, when you say, we have to say now, after Srishti, so Aneka, Eka, the what now, who, what is the Karanam for the now Jagat now, you can say, isn't it? No, this Karanam, Karana Maya, Maya is the Karanam, and Brahman is what? Akaranam. Brahman is Akaranam. Maya is karanam, Brahman is akaranam, non-cause. So ekam akaranam rupam before Srishti, isn't it? Now after all, what now? Ekam akaranam rupam. And before Srishti, Maya was ekam, but after Srishti, Maya became many. Karanam, is it? Karanam. Karanam ekam. Brahman is akaranam ekam. And after Srishti, Maya is what now? Bahu karyam. And still Brahman continues to be ekam akaranam. Got it or not? Therefore, he says what now? Uses these two words. Why it is said to be two? Why can't we say non-dual? Consciousness is ever non-dual. What about Maya then? Maya is Mithya. Where is Maya? Mithya means Satyam Brahman alone. Got it? Is it clear or not? Not clear.
It's getting there.
Yeah. Doesn't matter, don't worry. When I'll do that, I'll make it very clear again.
Well, what isn't clear is, if Maya Shakti is Brahman, how can it be Mithya? Mithya. That's where the sort of the confusion. I mean, I can understand it clearly, that the Maya is Mithya.
You don't know, Mithya means what? It is as good as non-existent. Mm. That is why we say, see, when you say, ocean is water, still ocean is, Maya is Brahman. Maya is Brahman. Ocean is water. Ocean is water. Isn't it? So it is mithya means what? Mithya means what? It has no independent existence. It is not separate, it is not countable as a second thing, non-dual. Okay. So here he wants to point out what is that Brahman, isn't it? Ekam, Advayam, and then Bhumakyam, Nityam Brahma, Tat Na Suvedyam. It is not experienceable at all. Therefore, O my student, if you think I have direct experience of Brahma, I know Brahman very well directly, if you say, you do not know. Therefore, yataha iti abhiprayaha. This is what is my, okay, this is what my opinion regarding your understanding of Brahman. You have not learnt, my child. You have to learn. He says, yataha, why? Because, evam atha nu, yes, no. Tasmat manye adhyapi mimamsyam. Mimamsya means what? Therefore, I think, adhyapi, even now, still, it has yet to be mimamsyam, analyzed. Okay? You have to analyze your, and analyze what? Still, the understanding of Brahman has to be made clear. It has yet to be analyzed. The nature of Brahman has yet to be analyzed. So that you will have right understanding. Mimamsyam, Shankara gives the meaning, vicharyameva means what? It is yet to be analyzed. Vicharyameva te, your understanding of Brahman has yet to be analyzed. You have to analyze the nature of Brahman, you have to arrive at the right understanding. It needs some more analysis, don't stop it, your knowledge is not correct knowledge. Yet, okay, next. Evam acharya uktaha sishyaha. The sishyaha, the disciple, who has been told by the teacher like this. Evam uktaha sishyaha. The student who has been told by the teacher, like what? Evam, in this manner. If at all you have any direct experience of Brahman, you don't know Brahman, because any Brahman experience is what? Only Sagunam Brahma, not Nirgunam Brahma. Nirgunam Brahma is not experienceable at all. Therefore, he says now, Sishyaha Yekante Upavishtaha. After being told by the teacher, he sits all by himself. He does not go and, you know, join big groups and doesn't go for parties and things. He goes home and sits in his room by himself, all alone, without feeling lonely. Okay, he sits by all alone without feeling lonely. Why he doesn't feel lonely? He has a company of the subject matter, the Shastram. Therefore, doesn't feel lonely. Therefore, having the Shastram subject matter as the companion, without feeling lonely, he is alone by himself. Ekante upavishtaha, then samahitaha san. Samahitaha san, what now? Being focused. Samahitaha means the mind does not think of anything else. That means what? He is very focused. Samahitaha san, being focused, the student. Yatha uktam acharyena, as it was exactly defined by the teacher. Okay, as it was said by the teacher. Yatha uktam acharyena, what has been said by the teacher? No, the teaching given, agamam. Agamam here means the definition of Brahman given by the teacher, or the teaching, isn't it? The teaching, the teachers, whatever has been said through the definition of Brahman given in this previous chapter, the main definition. No, aviditat, aviditat, adhi. Isn't it? That definition of Brahman, a very important definition of Brahman. And that definition of Brahman, which has been taught by this teacher, which is implied by, meant by the word agamam here. Why it is meant by the word agamam? Agamam means that which has been coming down through tradition from the teacher to the student. So the unbroken lineage of teaching tradition, this definition which has been being unfolded, which has been given in the previous chapter, that is agamam, yatha uktam acharyena yatha uktam agamam, that definition, the definition of Brahman which has been coming down to the teaching tradition, unbroken lineage of teaching tradition, that one, he, now what now, that teaching, artha taha vicharya, now analyzing that definition, analyzing the teaching, analyzing the unfoldment of that definition of Brahman, what now, artha taha, in its complete sense, properly, artha taha vicharya, not as he thinks, in keeping with the teacher's unfoldment of the definition, arthataha vicharya, then tarkatahata nirdharya. Tarkatahata nirdharya means what now? Nirdharya means having ascertained. How? Also analyzing it logically, with logical reasoning. Analyzing it thoroughly, in its complete sense, as unfolded by the teacher, previously, and also using his own reasoning also, analyzing it with logically also, then nirdharya, he arrives, he ascertains. Okay, nirdharya, having ascertained. What has he ascertained? Is it? Having ascertained this, what Brahman is. Having ascertained what Brahman is, now he understands. What is his ascertainment? What must be his ascertainment? He should not say, I know Brahman, I have direct experience of Brahman. He should say what? Aham Brahma. Understand? Having ascertained what Brahman is, Sva anubhavam kritva, having his personal correct understanding of Brahman as his own self. Kritva, swanubhavam kritva, acharya sakasham upagamya, having come to the proximity of the teacher, having come close to the teacher, comes and tells, uvacha, the student tells, manye aham atha idanim viditam Brahma. I think, teacher, I know Brahman. In the manner it has to be known. He jumps, the teacher should not mistake him. I think, teacher, now, manye viditam, the last part of the mantra, answered by the teacher. Have you noticed it? Manye viditam, the last bit of the mantra, second line, manye viditam is an expression of the student. I think Brahman is known. I think I know Brahman the way it has to be known. Not the way, the way how Brahman has to be understood, in that manner, that way I know Brahman. Brahma. Iti, teacher comes and, tun comes and tells. What is the bhasham is over. And in this context, there's one word, sva anubhavam kritva. Sva anubhavam kritva means what now? Having that vision of the shastram, vision of the teacher, as his own vision. Now, previously, the Shastra's vision has been there eternally, And that vision is the teacher's vision. Now teacher's vision has become his vision. This, you know, this teacher's vision when become the vision of the student, this is what now Shankaracharya uses the word Svanubhavam. And immediately we jump here. The poor Pakshi should jump. Oh, look at this. You said the anubhavaha, experience, we should not even use the word experience with reference to Brahman, because experience can be used, the word experience, okay, very special word, it should not be used when come near the Brahman. Oh, why? Because Brahman is not an object. And you said that. Now Shankaracharya himself uses the word anubhava. So why can't we use this? Now why can't we say again, no? Come on, sva anubhavaha here means what? Atmanubhutihi, brahmanubhutihi, isn't it? Anubhutihi, what is anubhavaha? Anubhavaha should not be translated as experience here. What is anubhavaha? Anubhavaha is, you have to remember, format change from triangular format to the binary format. Triangular format before the change of the mindset alone is the it should be understood as the meaning of the word anubhuti. Understand? And this anubhuti, change of mindset, is impossible without having aparoksha jnanam. Aparoksha anubhutihi is meant, what is, which implies the change of the mindset, wherein Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Aham Brahma, therefore Ahamidam Sarvam, there is nothing other than Brahman, or other than me. Understand, is binary. All that is there is only Brahma, which is myself. Finished. Before this mindset comes, isn't it? For this mindset to come, we must have done nididhyasanam, which is called aparoksha anubhutihi. Aparoksha anubhutihi is not an experience. Okay? That is what is, because Shankara used the word anubhava here, he means aparoksha anubhavaha. And that aparoksha anubhavaha implies what? Ascertained vision of one's own self being Brahman, wherein everything else, anything else other than Brahman, one's own self, is mithya. Just was non-existent. And before this mindset, there must have been a different mindset, triangular format, wherein one looks at oneself as a limited individual, isolated from the world, which is a victimizing world, and seeking the support of Ishvara, the Savior. Though that mindset to change, there must be what? There must be aparoksha jnanam, and which is not an experience. Aparoksha jnanam also is not an experience. It is only what? It is the corrected conclusion, correction of the erroneous conclusion one has about oneself. Correction of the erroneous notion one has about oneself is corrected. Notion of one's own self is aparoksha jnanam, and after correcting the notion about oneself, one contemplates upon, thereby one ascertains one sarupam being Brahman. Okay, so first jnanam is aparoksha jnanam, and thereafter what one has is same jnanam becomes unforgettable, aparoksha anubhutihi. And with this firmness, in fact, even if Bhagavan comes and tells, no, you don't, aproksham Brahma, no, aham Brahmasmi, your knowledge of Brahman is wrong, even if to say, you should be able to tell Bhagavan, that means your teaching itself is wrong. Tattvamasi Mahavakyam, which you taught, and if my understanding aham Brahmasmi is wrong, then your teaching is wrong. You should be able to tell Bhagavan, okay? That means that must with that much conviction, if a student goes back to student Nirdharya, okay, goes back to this teacher and he tells what? I think I know Brahman exactly the way it has to be known. And how he just says he has no understood Brahman, but what is his understanding of Brahman is going to be presented in the next verse, which we will see next class. Is it clear? Beautiful, isn't it? Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.